Welcome to Bloombox Growing Deeper. I'm Sarah.
I'm Hannah, and we're on a mission to help you become the gardener you want to be.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Happy gardening season.
We're finally here.
In the middle.
Yay.
Of the best month.
May's the best month?
For gardening.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I thought you
They're had, all the best month, really.
I thought you had a ranking of like...
No,
May's just the number one month.
When it comes to spring and starting planting season, if you get to May, you've gotten there.
Yes.
And it's exciting.
Yeah.
And busy. Mm-hmm. And exhausting. But wonderful.
Getting your hands dirty.
Yes.
It's a good time.
It is.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is a long, sought-after episode.
I'm excited about this.
I feel like it is the question. I think we just hit it right on with the seed that we did last year. But this is the question that I get more than anything these days. It used to be, how do I grow a butterfly-only garden? Or how do we save the bees? And now, what's the number one question, Sarah?
What can I replace my grass with?
Yes.
I like this question better.
I do,
one,
too.
We have an answer.
And so many answers.
Yes.
That's why we can do a full episode about it.
I'm excited for this episode because we've done a lot of writing about this. We've done a lot of encouraging. But mm-hmm. we have a long list, probably 40 minutes of ideas of things you could do, specific mm-hmm. things you could do.
Yeah. Probably 40 minutes of things you could actually do. And then I threw in a few wacky things that you could do.
You could do. You might need more than your average city lot. Yeah. But I like your ideas. So when I organized this outline, just so people know what's coming, I separated it into three categories. The first is, if we're not going to dig up the grass, how can we change it or change how we are working with it? Mm-hmm. So just working with what you have and making adjustments. And then we have a section on just digging it up and doing something different. And then at the end, I saved some of Hannah's wacky ideas and I added a couple of my own. Things you might not choose to do, but are really fun to think about.
It's what happens when I have afternoon coffee. I come up with crazy things.
That's okay. We do try not to podcast during your afternoon coffee.
Do,
We've learned that's not a good...
Mm-hmm. It goes a little wild. All right. Well, should we get into it?
Let's start.
Let's do it. I don't think we need to talk about like why people want to replace lawns, because...
I think we know.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Some people do, some people don't. It's all fine. I just want to tell one story.
Okay, go for it.
So I was at I was giving a talk to a neighborhood group recently. My own neighborhood. So there's like a women's group that meets.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of fun neighborhood stuff, but then they also bring in kind of speakers once a month when they're not planning like the Easter egg hunt or things like that. And so I went and did the talk this month all about the statewide arboretum and the things that we do and all of that. And of course, lawn replacement comes up.
Yep.
Yes. And I had the handouts ready to go. And as you all know, as loyal podcast listeners, I have replaced good chunks of my lawn with native gardens. And they are probably in that like middle, like not formal, but not wild.
Right.
But they're definitely... You know, I don't cut them back in the fall.
They're not roses and boxwoods.
Yeah.
But they're
And it's not grass.
Yeah, like, but you're not... You didn't seed your whole front yard to a prairie.
No, either. No. It's not wild. But there was one person in particular who came up to me and was trying... She lives on the same street as me, and she's a very nice person. I am not... Like, there's no bad blood here. But she was trying so hard to say that she wanted to do something to help... the environment, whatever, in her lawn, and it was really important to her husband, but that she did not like how mine looks.
And that
is okay. Yes, and I just kept saying that, like, it is not for everybody, and there are a lot of things you can do that aren't that.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's really cute.
Yeah, I know, and I could tell she was really, like, nervous about it. Like,
insulting you.
Yeah, this is not, I don't feel bad about it.
The only time I don't like what people do is when they all do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of lovely when we don't like the same yard, mm-hmm. because then we don't end up with a whole street. It's a really boring walk to take.
Yeah.
When everybody has the same yard.
Yep. Yep. So that's what we're going to do today, is give you all the options that we could think of. And there's probably more.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that there's more. I'm sure that there's ones we have never thought of and that we can't fit in this episode. Mm-hmm. I want to start by saying that we are not against you having any lawn, too. That's really important. And I think that gets, there are certainly some people out there who are against you having a lawn. That's their own problem. Lawns are useful. If you have kids playing, if you need open space for something, event space, we need lawns for certain things.
Yep. You want to be able to set up your patio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Your dog needs a place to play catch. We just don't always need as much lawn as we have. And where you hear us get really hard on quantity of lawn is usually like those big business spaces where there's just purposeless lawn.
And they're watering in the rain.
Right. Or when we have people that really just do it wrong and are using more resources than they need to have said lawn. That's where we get, you'll hear us talk about it. But none of this should be taken as we think you should get rid of your entire lawn.
We're not judgy people.
We're really not. And if you want to convert parts of your lawn, this is not an all or nothing thing.
No.
You can say, I have more lawn than I need. We're going to get rid of some parts, but I need these parts, or I like these parts.
As my therapist always says, avoid all or nothing thinking.
That is very wise advice.
Find compromise and middle grounds, and this is a great spot to do it.
This is the perfect spot.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with that, avoiding all or nothing, how can we take what we already have and either, like your neighbor wants to, be a little more environmentally friendly without losing what we like to see?
Mm-hmm.
Or some of these lawn replacement ideas get expensive.
Yeah.
So if we don't have the budget for that, what can we do? And I think the really nice thing is just do less.
Yeah.
And that's real easy on the budget.
That's what I did. So many people have asked me, like, oh, how did you get clover in your yard? And how did you get this? And how did you get that? And I'm like, I just didn't do anything. I mow it when it needs mowed. Right. But I have never fertilized it. I water it sometimes just when it gets really dry to keep it from turning into dust.
Yes.
But, like, that's pretty much it.
Right. We're going to stay away from citing specific heights, specific times, things like that, because it varies so much on where you are. But in the show notes, I am going to link to a really nice publication that Nebraska Extension put out last year that does have those specific recommendations based on eastern, western Nebraska, different conditions. Because my first point was that a properly maintained lawn is actually more sustainable than some of these excessively maintained lawns.
Yes.
So the more we mow, the more water we need.
Mm-hmm.
The more we fertilize, the more the grass grows, the more we need to mow, and the more water we need.
Mm-hmm.
However, not watering means you're always playing catch up.
Yes.
And you're leaving room for weeds, and now you're putting herbicides down. So finding the middle ground, doing nothing isn't the option.
Oh, it is for me.
You don't do nothing. I know you very well. You don't do nothing. You take the easier way.
Are you going to say I'm correct?
I don't know. You're correct for your yard. It looks very nice.
Oh, thank you.
But I also know that you talk about mowing.
Yeah.
And you just told me how you water before it gets dusty.
Yeah.
You don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And also the weed board will probably show up if you literally do nothing.
Yeah. Can I tell one more story? Okay. So my friends in Chicago that I go visit, they told this story about their next door neighbors and mowing their lawn. Like, you know, their neighbors moved in, bought the house, moved in, and they couldn't figure out why they only mowed half of their lawn all the time. And my friend was like, I don't know. I kept thinking, like, do they get bored in the middle? Like, are they doing an experiment? Like, what is happening? And then one day he went outside around the same time they were, and he realized the other half of the lawn where they don't mow is where they let their dog do the business and they don't want to pick it up. So they just don't mow that side. And I was like, yeah, that's one way, but you do need to pick up your dog's waste.
And at one point, some point, the dog's going to not want to go over there either. Yeah. And then you're going to have, what's going to happen then?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of our past neighbors who have since moved that were the literally do nothing until the weed board comes. They would not mow until someone complained. And then they couldn't mow because it clogged up their mower five times. And the decrease in mosquitoes since they have moved.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's amazing, let me tell you. And it's much more pleasant to walk down that sidewalk. Doing nothing's not the option.
No.
But doing less and doing the right amount really, really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So start with just doing less and look at that guide that Sarah's going to put for kind of finding the right spot.
It takes a
little bit of experimenting sometimes.
It does. We're still working through it. Nick's always been frustrated with me because I have a degree in horticulture and I cannot tell him how to take care of the grass because I frankly never cared. So I didn't learn that. I didn't take those classes. So
it's a whole separate thing. It's a turf whole management. Thing.
Yeah. So it's taken us some work, but that worksheet, it is kind of a worksheet by the time of year and what you need to do. But it tells you when you do need fertilizer and how much you need, because people have a tendency to think more fertilizer means better grass.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily. And
just like more food doesn't mean a healthier person.
Right.
Yeah.
So I found that very helpful. And then it is true that once you get into doing the proper work, you end up doing less work.
Sure.
Because we're not always trying to play catch up or having a spot die because something you had on here is water when it's needed. And there are times it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So if you want to do just keep your lawn, but maybe you want to add a little diversity to it, right? Because that's a good key thing that wildlife needs and that helps keep things healthy. Is just a little bit more biodiversity.
Right.
So there's a lot of good options. And one I was surprised to see when I was doing this episode outlining, I went, let's look up clover seed. What do we got these days? Because it used to be hard to find.
Right.
You had to order it online. You had to do this. And I just Googled lawn clover seed. And now, like, everyone and their mom has a lawn clover mix.
Which I love.
That you can get. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you buy it just like Home Depot, like wherever. So like,
and you just,
that's great.
You can just overseed it. You're not going to convert your lawn by doing that, but you'll get clover growing in your lawn.
Yeah. And the bag has the instructions of how to do it.
And I love clover in a lawn because it's soft. It's always green.
It's green.
It often stays green even midsummer when the grass goes dormant, and it has pretty little flowers.
Yeah.
And we're not, I mean, this is the short clovers. Yes, we're not talking about the tall purple ones that that do kind of stand out a little bit.
No, Although one time I did hear you can buy guaranteed four-leaf clover seed online.
What? That's so cheating.
You could plant some
of that. I don't think you get good luck if you cheat and you plant guaranteed four-leaf clovers.
I don't know how they guarantee it.
Do they guarantee the good luck?
I don't know.
That's really funny.
You can also give that a go if you want.
I'm going to tell our preschool about that because that would be really fun for kids to grow some four-leaf clovers.
Yeah. You could just put that in a little garden bed.
That would be so cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw your clover and I added violet.
Yeah.
Because in shady areas, I love to see violets coming up in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about them is when they're done, they're just done and they don't hurt anything.
Yep. The one I will caution people is wild strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved in, we had some wild strawberry here and there in our lawn. And I was just like, seems fine to me. Let it go.
Not fine.
It's not fine, you guys. Like, it is what it is now. I'm actually going to, like, completely redo our front lawn and put in real grass seed for the first time. This is, like, it's really taken it out of me.
Yeah.
But the strawberry has overtaken things, and it's moved into my garden beds.
Oh, man.
And it, like, it's just chokes out, like, mm-mm. The squirrels love it.
Okay.
Our yard is very popular for squirrels.
I don't know that I love being popular to the squirrels.
I wonder if it helps, because like I've never had problems with squirrels digging in my garden.
So they have
and
this
and stealing
instead.
Bulbs or anything, because they're eating the wild strawberries.
Gotcha.
And I'm not going to remove them everywhere. I still haven't learned my lesson. Or, you know, I know it's a battle I can't win.
Right.
But I'm going to do it in an area that it's that same spot where we had to remove the tree. So also like that lawn is just trash. Because it was covered in tree and now it's full sun.
And it's struggling.
There's still some roots in there and it's got divots and it just needs, I'm gonna start fresh.
Sometimes yeah. It's good to know when that's needed.
Yes, yes. So beware of the wild strawberry in the lawn,
that is
I would
good
say.
To know. I do think that it is important. I mean, we've talked about this before. The difference between aggressive species and things that are just capable of spreading. Clover, violets, they're well capable of spreading through grass, but they don't hurt anything.
Right.
There are things that spread, and then if you let them, you have no grass
Creeping
left.
Charlie.
Creeping Charlie.
That's another one I'm constantly battling.
We struggle with crabgrass, mm-hmm. and there's a difference, and it's really important to know.
Yeah.
Does it look different than the lawn that's purely green? Mm-hmm. Sure. You have purple flowers. Darn. I'm having a really hard time knowing why that's upsetting.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
And I added just a quick note here that this is actually the reason you're seeing that seed is the trend is starting to be this interest in historical landscapes.
Sure. Yep.
Is that this is what a lawn, this is what an estate in Europe would have looked like.
Yes.
You would
have had royal gardens. Yes. Had clover.
You had multiple grass species and some flowering species mixed into a lawn.
Mm-hmm.
We won't go. You can read about it if you want to. Maybe I'll link an article. But post-World Wars, when we had excess chemicals, we started looking for other ways to use them. And getting rid of things in our lawn was apparently one of those uses. Mm-hmm. So I like that that's coming back because it makes those seeds more available.
Uh-huh. Did we talk about the dynamite?
No. Tell us about the dynamite.
So we recently read this Blessed Earth, some of us did as part of a book club. And one of the things he talks about in that book, it's nonfiction. If you haven't read it, check it out. One of the things he talks about is, once again, post-World Wars, looking for alternative uses for things such as dynamite. And one of the proposals, like I think it was, you know, the FDA maybe even, or USDA probably, put together like a pamphlet to hand out to farmers about how you could use dynamite so that you didn't have to plow and it fertilized at the same time.
Oh, that's hilarious. That would make plowing a heck of a lot more fun.
Right? Just lay out your dynamite and you're good to go.
Well, that's how, that's how we should have taken out our lilac bushes. Yeah. They would have just launched into the air.
There you go. I wouldn't recommend it in town.
Oh, that's really funny.
All right. So if we aren't, go ahead.
I just noticed there's a note too. Working with what you've got, your tree rings can get a little bigger.
Yes.
Almost everybody's tree rings are too small.
Increase those tree rings as the tree grows.
Yep.
To the drip line, right?
To the drip line.
Up to a certain point.
To a certain point. There is
once you got that 100-foot tree.
You're not going to the drip line.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of 15-year-old-ish trees in people's yards where that mulch ring is still only 3 feet wide.
Right.
Like they put it when they planted mm-hmm. it. We can increase our tree rings. And then I like to put bulbs in mine or sedges and things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and that'll help because your grass just isn't going to grow very well under there.
And that's where you see people overwatering, mm-hmm. over fertilizing, trying to make grass grow where it doesn't feel the need to be.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's move on to if you do want to completely replace portions or all.
Dig it up,
get rid of it. Or in my case, just a little bit of Roundup. So
if you're replacing grass, one of the best things you can do is make sure that what you're replacing is dead.
Yes. Yes.
So that you don't deal with it for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going for. I don't use a lot of chemicals, so I'm going to be okay. This is like the garden project that is so antithesis to everything I do. I'm like, got to get the Roundup, got to get the grass seed. Like, but it's gonna be good.
Yes.
So okay. So what if you wanted to replace? So let's go into my project, because what I am replacing with is the Buffalo Grass Blue Grama mix.
I'm excited to hear how this does.
Yeah, it's a newer. I don't think it's brand new, but newer mix from Stock Seed, which is a seed company in Nebraska. I haven't seen it elsewhere, but I've seen a lot of different seed mixes for grass and for wildflowers from seed companies all over. But this one in particular is the Buffalo Grass, which typically does better in western Nebraska, but this one is a variety selected for eastern as well. I can't remember
which one. It does grow here.
Yeah.
The problem is we have a lot of cool season weeds that beat it.
Yes.
And that's where we struggle.
Yeah.
Which is why
they mixed in Blue Grama, which is an excellent native grass that is going to green up sooner than the Buffalo Grass. So you get earlier green up than you would with Buffalo Grass. So it kind of is still on the right timeline of normal fescue, right? So it blends in better with other people's lawns, you know, because that's another complaint about Buffalo Grass is like,
it's distinctly different.
Yes. It's very distinctly different. So this will allow us to like still have that lawn, cause it's front yard. And like I said, some of the neighbors are a little like, I can only push them so far with my wild goldenrod everywhere. I have to have some pieces that is still just a green lawn. So I think this will be a good option. It's diverse. It's going to play well with my gardens.
Yes.
So
how will it mow? Like, do they recommend you mow less?
Mowing.
Buffalo grass does well, but I didn't know how Blue Grama did.
They said you can mow it just the same as you would like an all buffalo grass lawn.
Oh, okay.
So it's less mowing. You can also let it get a little taller if you want it to. But from what I understand, you don't have to like let it go to seed or anything.
Okay. I'm really excited to see how this does for you, because it's interesting that these traditional lawn mixes, they already have they're usually a mix of a warm and cool season grass.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow when we started trying to do these buffalo grass, native grass lawns, we completely threw out this idea of mixing a cool and warm season grass. So I'm glad to see that, and I await your review.
Yes, I'm excited. I think we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's next?
Next is just more formal garden space.
Yes.
And by formal, I don't mean the design of it, just the idea that you've marked out a bed.
Mm-hmm.
Your beds can just get bigger.
Yep.
I like to see how far I can push it before the other people in my house notice that this bed grew by a foot last year. more room for my plants. It's also not something I have to do all at once. I can say this year, I just need this bed edge to come out another foot.
Mm-hmm.
It eats up a little bit of grass, but it doesn't actually change, at least yet. There is a point where it will dramatically change the yard. But it's not always a dramatic change, but it just eats away at the grass little by little to add more garden space. And then as I'm doing that, the other thing I'm trying to do is designed our yard with a lot of right angles that can be really hard to mow.
Yeah.
So we're trying to change those edges to be curvier and nicer, easier to mow, nicer to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And one of the things that I talked to that person in my neighborhood about, because she said, I do like to garden. I like flowers. I like that. I just don't like the look of this.
Yeah.
And I noticed that last year she took a whole section. I think they had to have some yard, something done. So it was like a bare spot that popped up, and she planted all cosmos, and it was gorgeous. Just like a full thing of cosmos, and there were butterflies on them all the time, and everything was going great. And so I just said, well, take another part. It can be small. Yeah. Like you know, 4 feet and plant all of one plant.
Yeah. That you zinnias like. Do well like yeah. that too. And then you have bouquets.
Mm-hmm. I was like, and it could still be a native plant.
Yeah.
Look at my asters.
Yeah.
I just have rows of asters. You could do something like that. That's very formal, serves the purpose of having different things in your yard, because it's not like you have to have diversity within 1 square foot.
No.
Like, we're talking about your whole property.
Yeah, if you wanted to just have the spring square, the summer square, yeah. and the fall square, you don't have to have the diversity in that garden bed. You're just looking at over your property. Mm-hmm. That could be really fun. Little yeah. seasonal gardens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's another recommendation. If you're trying to replace with gardens, but you're like, I just can't do the wildness. Right.
And similar to that, we target the places where grass isn't growing very well.
Right, yeah.
So, like when we moved in, our mailbox had like a clematis by it, mm-hmm. but the grass just didn't want to grow there. So yeah. we just put a garden bed there. And yeah. now there's just the whole, I don't know, 25 square feet-ish.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to get the grass to grow, we just said, okay.
Yep.
Go away.
There we go.
You don't want to be here? We don't want you here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of options when it comes to gardens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about more trees?
Sure. I mean, you're a little bit more limited. You want to make sure you place them in the right spot. They're not going to cause problems later.
It's not a small yard solution, mm-hmm. but it is a big yard solution. When yeah. you get some of these acreage yards, or like we kind of called out the business, the mm-hmm. Industrial yards, have some trees.
There is a tree for every yard, in my opinion. Even if you have a small yard, there are small trees.
There are very small trees. And the thing about trees is, yes, you got rid of the grass right where that tree is. But say you're working with like, you know, a couple acre lawn mm-hmm. and you scatter some trees through there. You didn't get rid of that lawn, but the shade is going to make it a lot easier to have healthy grass with less water.
Yep.
So, yes, we have trouble growing grass in dense shade, but we do mm-hmm. not have trouble growing grass around trees.
Right.
As you can see in any park.
Yep. Especially if you're mulching them out a ways.
Yes.
Where that like densest shade is.
You got to maintain that mm-hmm. ring. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then if you are in a smaller yard and your trees are already planted, look at the understory. Can mm-hmm. you combine those trees into, say you've got 3 trees, can the bed combine and there be understory shrubs?
Yeah. Mm, gorgeous.
Yeah. Where I'm
impatiently... Even an understory tree.
Yes.
Like, I feel like people... Okay, here's a rant. Everybody wants a redbud.
Yes.
Nobody remembers that they are understory trees.
They are woodland edge trees.
And they plant them in the middle of a lawn by themselves.
Yes.
And I'm like... This is not going to go. Nice. Well, I mean, it kind of does, but...
It depends what your neighbors have. If your yeah. neighbors are offering enough shade, it can work. But a lot of times they end up scorched. And
mm-hmm. So if you have those established trees, get yourself a redbud under yes. there. Gorgeous, pretty.
I'm eagerly awaiting... Our yard came with an old maple,
mm-hmm.
and we added a cherry tree and a buckley oak kind of in a line. And we're not going to do it right away because we want those 2 trees to establish well. They're only a couple years old. But when they get a little more established, we're going to combine that bed into one and add the shrubs underneath.
Yeah.
And I can't wait.
Yes. It's going to be great. I like it. Okay. More trees.
More trees.
And shrubs.
Yep.
Oh, here's a good one. More vegetable beds.
I think this is similar to what you suggested with the annual flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just pop them in random spots. Yeah.
I see a lot of vegetable beds in front yards because that's where people, it seems like these older neighborhoods, they've still got shade trees in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So they put their vegetable beds in the front.
Yeah.
It's different. I don't think it's weird.
No.
I think you put your vegetable bed where you have sun.
Yep.
And they can be also as formal or informal as you like.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a nice border on them and an edge, why is that not a front yard thing?
I don't get it. My vegetable garden looks cleaner than my perennial garden.
I spend a lot more time cleaning yes. up my vegetable garden.
And I'm much more picky about the weeds and yes. all the things and that. And it gets watered and it gets cleaned up and it gets all these things. It's the same as like putting my pumpkin patch in the front yard. And especially with squash that needs to be rotated so it doesn't attract things. You run out of
places to rotate.
Especially, and it's a big crop. Like, yes. You need a big space to grow pumpkins.
And for a lot of people, their backyard's the entertaining space and the play space. So move the vegetable garden to the front yard.
Mm-hmm. More room for kids and dogs to run around or you to have a barbecue.
And there you go. If you're needing ideas for those beds, I am very adamant that vegetable gardens need perennial food too.
Yes.
So we add a lot of things to our yard, like strawberries and asparagus. Strawberries came back. Yay! Ah,
I'm excited. Sorry.
Strawberries and asparagus and rhubarb and those things, they take up space in your garden beds, but they come back every year. So sometimes you find you need a little more space the more of those plants you add.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like it. And okay, here's another question for you. Have you seen these new fancy brick things for building raised garden beds?
Are you the things the you corners? Stack up to make the corners?
Yeah.
Yes.
Those are new? Or are they not new?
I don't know how new they are.
I discovered them recently. I was like, wow, this has made garden beds so easy.
You have to be a little careful with them. Do you? Our neighbors did them last year.
Never mind, guys.
Well, hang on. It's not a no. Our neighbors did them last year.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went in, first off, you have to start level.
Yes.
And that was a mistake they made, was they didn't take the time. It was mostly level. But mostly isn't going to work when you want bricks to stay stacked on top of each other.
Yes.
And then remember that when you, so you stack the bricks and they've got little slots. So you slide the
boards in.
The boards in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fill that with soil and then you water it and you have pressure outward.
Yes.
So you have to start flat.
And I have always braced my garden beds, even
they went back and added rebar down the middle of them.
Down the, like, well, you're supposed
to start with. They did not to start with. They went back and added that.
I put wooden stakes on the outside of the like wood panels. Then
I think that's
to
important.
Help give it structure.
Yep.
I mean, it's not pretty, but
no. But you could also, if you set a nice post down the middle of those bricks, I think they're an easy way to build. You just have to make sure you do the base work.
Yes.
It's not quite like the plastic ones that are stuck together no matter what. But what I liked about them was they were able to make them as deep as they needed for each type of plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some herbs and things, you know, one or two boards is enough. But when they got to their tomatoes and things, you go a little deeper.
And it's not those metal ones that are $1,000
and get hot.
Get hot. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So yes, some beds, garden beds are good. Wildflower lawns.
Okay. Now we're getting into the less structured.
More wild. Literally in the name.
Yeah. But can be really pretty.
And this is another one. So Michelle is actually working on a one pager on lawns. Lawn replacements right now. And one thing she did in it was take a section where she said, okay, so if you wanted to replace your lawn with a wildflower garden, 100 square feet, if you did it with, you know, plugs, it could cost about this much. If you do it with seed, it's like $9 for 100 square feet.
But a lot more
work. Which is a lot more work. But if money is a problem,
Seed is
the solution.
Pretty reasonable.
If you have the time to put into it. And probably wildflower lawns is the place to do it if you want to do it all at once.
Yes.
Because it's just going to be an astronomical price to do it with plugs. And those are hard to find if you're not working with a wholesaler. So,
And it's hard to make that look good. The thing about plugs is they are faster.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've ever tried to purposefully randomize something, you know how hard that is.
Yes.
I would have a hard time plugging that and making it actually look like a wildflower lawn.
Yeah. So there are wildflower lawn seed mixes everywhere now. Anywhere from like this one doesn't get any taller than 18 inches to like here's your wild prairie. So I know I didn't ask you this ahead of time, but do you have a quick, like, some things people should look out for in a wildflower seed mix?
So
that would be like a problem.
Like species-wise?
Not species-wise, okay. They're just like, if it can grow in zones 1 through 40.
Yeah, I would be real hesitant on anything that's more than like a 3-zone range. Mm-hmm. And then, so usually every town is different. So check your city ordinances. But generally speaking, between the sidewalk and the street, you can't go more than 3 feet tall.
Right.
You can complain to me about that all day. I have dealt with people who are very angry about that. But the reality is you need to see who leaves the driveway.
Yes, yes.
And if it's a child, I still want to see them leave the driveway.
Yes.
It's a visibility thing. Mm-hmm. It's not the city targeting you for growing plants. As you get further back from the street, every city has written their ordinances differently. Some people get nervous that it's going to look like something they can get in trouble for weeds.
Right.
Typically, with the exception of some homeowners associations, if you get that call and somebody says, you're not mowing your yard, all you have to do is show the seed mix and that you purposely planted mm-hmm. this, and it's not an issue.
Right. They just want to make sure it's not like an abandoned thing yes. or neglect.
Neglect. Mm-hmm. And also, like I said with my past neighbors, when you yeah. have uncared for turf, you get mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So I find those things actually pretty easy to deal with. The only thing to remember is that as you get close to the street, we just don't want to mess mm-hmm. with the visibility. Then I look for, yeah, the zonage. If we're having a huge variety and it says you can plant it east to west coast, Canada to Mexico, I would not plant that.
Yeah.
Because some things will grow for you, some things will die for you, and some will be aggressive and invasive for you.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge range of ecosystems.
Yeah. I read someone say, like, that means that they intend for half the seeds to die.
Yes.
In yeah. that mix. Because they're trying to make it they're just work trying to in make such a broad one. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that the end of the world?
No, but you're wasting your money.
You are.
Like, you could go with a one that is a little more localized from, it doesn't even have to be a local seed supplier, although we would say
we would recommend that.
But if it's just a little more targeted, you're gonna get yeah. better results.
Just within a couple zones or like a 10-state area, mm-hmm. something more reasonable. It also just lowers your chances of a problem plant.
Yes, yes.
That wasn't a problem for whoever developed the seed mix.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the local suppliers because you can go back to them for help.
Yep.
This is not an easy thing to establish. You don't just toss the seed on the ground and go. This is where you want to make sure your grass is dead before you start. Yep.
Do some soil amendment.
Do whatever you need mm-hmm. to make that a happy place for those seeds. They're going to need water. They're going to need something, straw or whatever you put on top of them to keep them from washing away.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to stay on top of whatever seed was hiding in your turf grass for a little while.
Yeah.
You'll find out all sorts of weeds you never knew you had.
Yeah, do some pulling.
And this is where having the local supplier who can help you troubleshoot
mm-hmm.
is really, really helpful.
Yep, especially if you're unfamiliar with the plants that yeah. are in the mix.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, the other concern that people will ask us about is making it palatable to the neighbors.
Yeah.
There's some people who couldn't care less. My stance is you chose to live in a community and you need to then be part of said community within reason.
Yeah.
You don't need to control your every move, but you want to be a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's things to think about to make this a place you want to enter. And most of the time when people do wildflower lawns, they're looking for things 2 feet and under.
Yeah.
If you happen to like a bunch of taller plants, that's fine. Just, you know, kind of range the height away from the sidewalk.
Ombre it.
Yeah, that's a good word. I was trying to think of a fancier word.
Yeah.
Keep your taller things closer to the house or closer to a fence so that it feels natural to walk through that space.
Mm-hmm.
It's really uncomfortable as a human to walk down a sidewalk and suddenly have everything be 5 feet tall around you.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good.
It doesn't feel good. And or falling over on you, hitting yeah. you. That's why I'm moving my asters back. Because yeah. like, nobody wants to walk on the sidewalk.
And people get frustrated. Where I live, everyone walks in the street. We don't use the sidewalks. because people don't trim their bushes. Ugh, the sidewalks have problems. You'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden there'll just be a tree growing across it. So
keep your sidewalks clear.
Keep your sidewalks clear. Mm-hmm. They're meant to be walked on. Mm-hmm. So make them walkable and enjoyable.
Yep.
And then, maintain it. Mm-hmm. This isn't just abandoning a garden. You right. do still have to keep things maintained.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
But I think wildflower lawns are beautiful, especially if you have a little larger yard and you can get the true effect of, a large seeding. Yeah.
And then you can cut them.
You can cut them. And make
little bouquets.
Make bouquet, and you won't even notice they're gone.
No.
Sometimes we talked about seeding versus plugging, but sometimes what people will do is they'll seed almost everything, and then those two or three species they want that are hard to grow from seed, they'll just stick those plugs in.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. So you really want Baptisia in your wildflower lawn.
Yeah, that's good luck.
You're going to want to plug that.
Yeah. And then cage it, and then watch it for 3 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, the rabbits love Baptisia.
Do they? Mine?
The rabbits that I have are constant, like Baptisia and Liatris.
They want those.
I have to just like Fort Knox those when they're young.
That's really, we have opposite problems because for me, the squirrels are feral. Mm. But we have a large local fox population, so we do not have
the rabbits
problems.
Are okay. Yeah. All right. So then there's a couple of other ones. Of course, we've talked about sedge lawns.
Yeah.
Right? Like, especially in shade.
Yeah. These next part four shade. Is like if you want to take a section of lawn that doesn't grow well because of shade or whatever and just replace it with all of one low-growing species.
Low maintenance, low-growing.
Sedges. Just, great in the shade. Really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Not especially along that, edge.
Yeah. A lot of side yards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not for heavy traffic.
No.
Or if you do walk through, there may be some stepping stones.
And you don't have to mow them, so you could also put it in those spots where mowing is not difficult. Fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let that go a little wild, but still it'll blend in with your grass when you look at it.
It's visually.
Green. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You added a juga.
I added a juga just because, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, you can put it in some places and just kind of let it do its thing. I have found that a juga, and maybe this is just my experience, will kind of self-manage.
It does.
It fills in where it does well and the places where it doesn't. Like, I've seen it just crisp up and die.
Now, the one thing to think about with a juga is if you have a neighboring garden bed still in the conditions where it does do well, you will have a juga in there too.
Yes, yes.
Because it spreads by runners.
I put it next to my house, foundation planting.
Foundation or next to the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Or like you said, if you want it in a shady area, it's not going to leave the shade.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to be in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really nice, the extension office in Omaha, in that courtyard, that's the base of that whole garden bed is a juga. Mm-hmm. And then they have other things growing out of it.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
Mm-hmm. So I like it. I think, and it's just easy to grow. I have never had a problem with it growing.
That's good. So, like keeping it alive?
Yeah. Because I'll just cut up, dig a piece up from a spot where it's doing well, move it to a new spot I need, put it in, water it a couple days. Thing does what it's going to do.
Nice.
So there you go. Okay. And then you had thyme.
Thyme. We saw someone do this last year. And thyme is nice because it doesn't get tall. I mean, there's nothing about thyme is going to get more than 8 inches tall at the maximum. And she had a tough yard with a lot of retaining wall areas where the grass was only, maybe 2 feet wide by the width of her house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really frustrating to mow because you're lifting the mower up and down those walls.
No.
It was also a really old neighborhood with big trees, so some shade. And she just she plugged it. And this is when you do all of one species, then you can plug.
Yeah.
And you would need to with thyme. It looked really great last year. She planted in the spring. We got to see it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
The one area that struggled was down by the street. And I was doing some troubleshooting with her, and it could be a little watering issue. It could also be that saltier soil next to the road where the road salt comes up. But it established wonderfully, and smelled, walking up to her yard, you could smell it.
Yes, I love it.
I wish I had been there. I didn't get to see a flower, but I bet it was really pretty with all the pink flowers.
Yeah. And then for your last one, you had sweet woodruff.
I put that one because we're doing that this year.
Okay.
So we have on the side of our house, we have a crabapple tree. And between the house and the tree, the grass is fine. But then our yard slopes right after the crabapple. Yeah. And it's shady and it slopes. And it just becomes this dust patch.
Yeah.
But
you
also still kind of have to mow over it because there's weeds come
something
up.
Growing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're just tired of it. So this year we plugged that whole slope with sweet woodruff. It took two flats. And I'm...
You've already done this?
Well, you did. Yeah, in May.
Sorry.
I forgot. Kind of making stuff up here.
No, that's okay.
And... sweet woodruff is one that will handle the dry but needs established. So that's where I wove my soaker hoses through. I didn't want to, there's no real way to run a sprinkler under a tree like that.
Especially on a slope. Yeah. Things are going to get more water than others.
Yeah. But I'm really excited for this because this is our crabapple. It's really low branched and we love it that way, but it makes it really hard to mow and stuff under there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are our standard ideas, everybody.
They're serious ideas.
Go for them.
Not that we wouldn't love to see these.
But now let's get into a little bit further out there ideas that we have.
The adventurous ideas.
Yes, fun but wacky is what we have. So my first one was put in a vineyard.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not worse than a lawn for the environment. Not great, but you could do it, and then you have grapes and you can make your own wine and invite us over.
I'm gonna leave this one in the wacky because it's a lot more work.
It's so much
than
work
anything else we've suggested here. But you could substitute that for any plant,
sure, really.
Like I stuck berry patch on here.
Yes.
You have your pumpkin patch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is no reason not to use a portion of your yard.
A plant you're passionate about, put it in your yard.
Yeah. And a lot of it.
Yeah. You could do it.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Moss. You had that on here.
I had that on because I Googled. I have never thought of nor done moss in a garden. I think it's definitely more popular in wetter locales, like Pacific Northwest, for sure. But apparently it can be done.
I have my eye on a spot that I want to grow moss. And I did a little reading and I decided that this was not the year to try to establish it because it does you have to pat it into place and water it. And that was not going to happen this year. I want to put it around the stepping stones to my hose spigot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the shadiest, wettest corners. And then we run the hose, It's just
always
it gets wet there.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to put it anywhere with heavy traffic, but since it's around the stepping stones...
You'll step on the stones.
You'll step on the stones anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to try this.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting till the right time.
Yeah. Because once again, it's a lot of work to get going. Once you get it going, it's supposed to be pretty low maintenance. But yeah. It's a bit.
Here, you would obviously put it in your shady wet spot. You would just have to watch for that one time midsummer when that area finally dries out.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about moss is it's well capable of going dormant and coming back.
Yeah.
It takes a long, long, long time for it to actually die.
Mm-hmm.
But you might see it go dormant for a while. Yeah.
And if you do this, make sure you get the right moss because you can't just grow the same moss in Oregon that you can grow in Nebraska.
Right.
So make sure you do your research on the type of moss. I don't know what type of moss. Don't ask me.
I don't either. I do know there's moss that lives on decaying plants.
Right.
And there's moss that lives on soil. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other
thing
you'd have to know.
Mm-hmm. Unless you want to supply it with decaying things at all times.
Yeah.
I guess you could do.
Some yards.
We didn't put in here mushrooms.
That's, yeah.
Our friend Denise would get back and she'd be like, she's growing mushrooms all over her front yard.
Right.
So there you go. Okay, is it time for my last crazy one?
Last suggestion.
So my last one is, in most places, it's legal to have a pot-bellied pig. So just fence your yard, put your pig out there. You can feed them scraps, and they're going to rip up your lawn, but it's perfectly acceptable when it's where a pig lives.
That's true.
There you go.
It's also in most places legal to have 10 chickens.
Yeah.
So you could have a chicken yard.
Chickens.
They don't let anything grow.
Pigs. And, you know, people are just going to be like, here's that they're living off the land.
They might have opinions, but they might not share them.
Yeah.
And pigs are cute.
Pigs are so
cute. Especially the little potbelly ones. Mm-hmm.
They're so fun. I love them. Often, there's a couple available at the Humane Society.
Interesting. That is very interesting.
The Nebraska Humane Society in Omaha usually has a pig or two.
Because the people who try to keep them as house pets, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Need a bigger space. Because they are small for pigs, but you have to remember, have you ever met
a full-size pig?
How big pigs get.
They get quite large.
They're still not small. They're bigger than most dogs, a potbelly pig. So, yeah. All right.
I hope what you take away from this is there's really no wrong thing to replace turf with.
No.
Whether it's just maintained differently turf or it's a plant you like, there's no right answer. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you like to see outside your house.
Yeah, that's right. Do you. Make yourself happy and follow the law.
Yeah. I mean, let's not plant any noxious weeds.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yep,
thanks.
Yep. All right. Sarah, should we talk about our plant of the week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am holding my sweetwood drift over as my plant of the week because it was planted early in May. It's finally establishing. Mm-hmm. I probably won't get to see it, you know, fully fill in, but it's making me very happy to have this problem spot covered.
Yes.
And I'm excited that I found something that's not... It's not just like a grass replacement. It's flowering because the tree it's under is this beautiful white crabapple. And in the spring, I mean, I don't know if anybody reads Anne of Green Gables, but she has the Snow Queen apple tree in her yard.
Right.
This is my Snow Queen. Aww. It is covered. And then it goes away. And I miss those white flowers. And that sweet woodruff is also white flowers. So I feel like they complement each other.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. My plant of the week. So last year, I finally decided I think I can handle this. And I planted poppies.
Ooh, yes.
And they made it through the winter.
Yay.
Not all of them, but most of them made it. And they're looking great.
Good.
So mine are my poppies. And it's one of my first additions to my royal plant collection. Because so many of them are named after members of the various royal families.
They're very royal affiliated.
Or plant. Royal. I think I have one that's just royal wedding poppy.
That is
so.
Very broad.
Yes. So, so I'm so excited for my poppies. And I hope that they spread and start to fill in a bit.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll probably buy some more and add because they're all kind of lonesome right now because of the ones that didn't quite make it through.
When do they bloom? These ones. I know there's kind
of a range. Right now when I'm talking about it.
I'll cut that out. That was silly.
I don't know.
They also bloom like all different times.
Right. I think these are all like... early spring.
Yeah. I mean,
from what I remember.
Kind of the Memorial Day
flower. Yeah.
We'll cut that out.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, Sarah, for talking to me about lawns.
Yes. You've had this on our list for a while, and I think it's going to be a very helpful episode for people.
We made it happen. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to rate and review us. Share us with your friends. Send us your questions because it's gardening time. So send those in. And Bloombox and Bloombox Growing Deeper are both programs of the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum.